Welcome to Medified, a podcast about web dev and tech news that piqued my interest. I'm your host, Richard, and I'm looking forward to this episode. The world of JavaScript has once again been swept off its feet in the last week with the introduction of a new runtime by the name of Bun. So, how does it work? What can it do for you? What's the story behind it? Well, let's find out. On the tech side of things, Bun is a JavaScript runtime. So, if we want to compare it with something, it will be fighting in the same ring as Node and Deno. The next question on everybody's mind is surely, why do we need another one of those, and how is this one special? Well, its focus area is threefold. First, it's built with edges in mind, and so it starts fast. Secondly, it focuses on the overall performance of the thing, and as the last area of focus, we have completeness because Bun is also a bundler, transpiler, and a package manager. If you dive a bit deeper, there are a couple more things that stand out here. Bun is designed to be a drop-in replacement for your runtime and already has approximately 90% of the Node API implemented. And it was all built by this one guy, Jared Sumner. Pretty darn cool, right? In terms of compatibility, Bun uses ESM internally, but implements the module resolution from Node.js, which means you can use NPM packages. And since everything is transpiled, things like TypeScript and JSX work out of the box. The runtime itself is written in Zig, and unlike Deno and Node, it uses JavaScript Core Engine instead of V8. Since its recent beta release, it has already amassed tons of hype, and at the time of this recording, it has a bit over 26,000 stars on GitHub. Also, we already have some open source for Bun, like frameworks and adapters, and boy, did the devs go to town with the naming. I'm including a link to an awesome Bun repository on GitHub that has links to these codebases with Bun puns. The growingly popular front-end tooling system, Wheat, has arrived with a new major 3.0 version recently, so let's take a look at some of the things this update brings. Wheat CLI has gotten some cosmetic updates, but more importantly, the default dev server port is now 5173, and the preview server is listening at 4173 in order to avoid collisions with other tools. Version 3 also changes the default connection scheme, and it should now work out of the box in most scenarios when your server is running behind the proxy. We also get better cold starts, thanks to not doing a full reload when imports are injected by plugins, and the glob import support for importing multiple modules from the file system was rewritten, and it can now do pretty cool things such as specifying a negative pattern or attaching metadata with custom queries. Since most of the server-side rendering frameworks already use ESM builds, Wheat 3 makes it default for SSR builds as well, and we now get proper support for relative base, which allows us to deploy build assets to different bases without rebuilding. There is even a new experimental feature that builds on top of this and allows for finer grain control over path generation at build time. In the previous episode of Minified, we have talked about Deno raising a lot of money to build stuff, and lo and behold, we got some new stuff. I am of course talking about the next-gen web framework called Fresh. The description has all the buzzwords like Edge and TypeScript out of the box, but there are some unorthodox ones like no build step and Node.js shipped to the client by default. So far, people seem to be pretty impressed with it, but only time will tell how it fares. But the ideas upon which it's built sound great, so fingers crossed and stay fresh. Last month, we have seen the release of Visual Studio Code 1.69. It has a lot of very interesting updates and quality of life improvements, like a built-in three-way merge editor and a new UI piece called Command Center that sits on top of the editor and is used to search for files, for running commands and more. You can now specify your default git commit action for the commit button, and there is a new button for toggling JavaScript source maps. More features are described on the Visual Studio website link, so feel free to check them all out. Next.js has released a new 12.2 version some time ago, and people from Vercel are saying that this one lays the foundation for the future of Next.js. So let's take a quick look at what it has in store for us. Middleware, the feature that allows you to run code before a request is completed, is now stable. And so is the on-demand incremental static site regeneration that lets you update the content on your sites without redeploying. As for the experimental stuff, Next now supports using the Edge runtime for API routes and for server rendering as well. There are also some updates to the Next image component, such as the support for canonical style prop and the introduction of experimental plugins for Next's SWC minifier that are written in WebAssembly. Thanks for tuning in to Minified. If you like what I do, make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts and share it with your friends and colleagues. Catch you later!